shine bright, bad boy sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclass.
Everybody, Matt Michaels here. Bright lights blinking. Rob Bossolet, late night, and none of that shrinking. Michael says, Bad Boy Travis here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And right away, let's get to it. Of course, this weekend we had none other than the 2025 WWE Royal Rumble. Before we get into the matches, overall, gentlemen, what did you think about how the weekend went down?
Yeah, it was solid. Since no one wants to pipe up and say anything, I'll go ahead and speak, I guess. No, I think that the event came off exactly as it should have. They got, I know it was quoted numerous times on the show of being over 70,000 in attendance. However,
I knew he was going there.
But regardless, whether the number is over 70, whether it's 65, whatever it is the third largest gate for professional wrestling in the history of the business.
Can we have something where it's just, this was good. It doesn't have to be like a grime.
And that wasn't meant to be like, throwing shade right at the beginning. But
no, for people who know why he said that, those two numbers saw the press conference. And Hunter was sitting there giving the financial numbers of Indiana. And, you know, Cole was told all night to say 70,000. Hunter came in the press conference and said 70,000. But the graphic at the bottom of the screen while Hunter was talking, it wasn't quick. It was up there for maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes, said 65, 70 or one, something like that. So it was a hilarious moment. It's not regardless because it was like it showed that there was a big communication issue because it's something WWE doesn't do that often, have a miscommunication like that, because 5,000 people is 5,000 people. That's the difference between two different numbers. And
that's a dynamite attendance right there.
Like, that's actually. Excuse me, that's a whole week of AEW attendance, 225 for Dynamite, 25 for Collision. Basically. So it was just funny to have the COO sitting there giving the financial numbers, and then it was like, oh, wait.
The problem is that half of the stadium is actually built in Wembley, Indiana. So therefore, the inflation...
Did you say Wembley?
And the other half is in Arlington, Indiana?
That's right.
And that little sliver of Indianapolis, right between the two. So,
no, it was just funny though. I wasn't busting Steve's ball. I knew why he went there first because it was funny for everyone who saw it. I'm like sitting there watching. I'm like, oh my god, I can't. Someone text this guy. Sean, call this guy. Sean's like, I'm off on Sundays, Saturdays, whatever day that show was at. Was it Saturday?
Saturday, yeah. And speaking of, all right. The men's Rumble match, there were some, great moments. Overall, the storytelling in setting up some things that are going to be going on here in the next 2 months leading up to WrestleMania. Joe Hendry is over like wildfire.
Can someone explain that to me?
Everybody believes.
I know.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, because so I get it. Everyone who knows, the one thing I harp on for indie talent is to dominate social media. Yeah. Definitely. And I get it. He got over by social media. But WWE is not an internet company. You know, their fan base aren't the, you know, the hardcore social media fans.
But you had 5,000 people singing a song.
But that's where I get it because he's never been on WWE. He's never been on the WWE programming. He's been on NXT. They don't have 65,000 fans. And they don't pull a rating where they could go to a venue to pull 65,000 fans. So his only presentation on WWE program has only been on NXT. So I'm wondering, like, where did 65,000-70,000 people, like,
wait a minute. I want to jump in on this one because I don't look for WWE online. And I think this is where our ages are showing. When Samantha Irwin would do anything, WWE made it a social thing. Every time she would respond, when The Rock came back and she jumped out of her seat, it became a viral thing on Instagram. Everything she did, they know now better than they did before who their audience is. And they know, I was having this conversation with Daryl earlier. From my perspective, TNA has become a pseudo developmental company for WWE. WWE is picking the best talent from TNA and bringing them up to NXT, bringing them up to main roster. You can argue whether or not that's a legit thing, but they know that there's dollar signs with Joe Hendry, and they understand even better than Tony did with, you know, seeing Bullet Club, that there are people that are outside of our realm. I now have this partnership. I can tap them and for their best talent and discard what I don't need without any responsibility. TNA takes all the risk. This guy's gold. He's a social media guy. Perfect. He's already self-made. I don't have to do much with him. All I need to do is bring him to my Royal Rumble. I get him for one spot. He ejects a couple of guys I don't even remember. And then he gets thrown out by Roman Reigns. No harm, no foul. Everybody wins. It's beautiful. It is such an elegant system.
I totally understand that. Like, I mean, I could have told you since August that Joe Hendry was going to be in the Rumble. That was from his debut.
But how is the audience connecting with him? The audience is connecting with him because he's simple. He's not the best wrestler. He's good. He's good. But there's a groundswell of online attention. WWE has been using Instagram like a beast to promote, to do it, to catch it from all angles. Now it's not just cable or Netflix or Peacock, of which now, by the way, if they're going to show it on Netflix and Peacock, I got to drop one.
No, it's only Netflix worldwide, not domestically. Yeah. They don't have a domestic contract with Netflix.
Once the Peacock deal ends this year,
they still don't have a domestic contract yet. So
2 years on Peacock still.
Oh yeah, 2 years. So I understand the whole Joe Hendry. Trust me, I was in the arena when he debuted in NXT, and I understand the whole concept. And I think one people need to understand this TNA deal is only with NXT. It's not main roster. You're not going to see TNA talent. You're not going to see TNA talent at WrestleMania.
Of course,
you're going to see TNA talent at Stand and Deliver, but you're not going to see TNA talent at WrestleMania.
But
it's strictly NXT deal. I was just curious because
you ever imagine Joe Hendry being on a main roster in 5 years? Of course.
Oh, without a doubt.
Of course.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
TNA NXT to the main roster.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a chance it's a direct pipeline. He could actually skip NXT, this point. So I was just curious, because it's about their fan base. And when I mean that they're not the internet fan base, I mean they're not the wrestling internet fan base. You know, you could be a non-wrestling fan, have a algorithm that deals with wrestling, and Joe Hendry can pop up, you know. But when I mean internet fan base, I mean that and this is not a knock into AEW, but I mean they're fans. Yes, him. they're fans. Tony caters more to the internet because their fans are sitting on the internet, and that fan base knows Joe Hendry, but it's not a large fan base. So right. like they trust me, he surprised a lot of people last night. But there was a reason.
I'm not the surprised. I'm surprised that he would have surprised people because it's cyclical. WWE sees something good there. They pump him on their end. He gets more love and it just goes around and around.
Oh no, they know that, but there's a lot of people who are just they're kind of baffled of like why like his popularity doesn't correlate to the ratings of where he's at. You know, it's like if 65,000 people sang his song, where's that? Like the viewership and his merch over there don't equate to 65,000 people.
Right. You know, should he be bigger at TNA? Should TNA get a bump off that?
Exactly. We'll find out this week. You know, we can't answer this week, but in just to you know close it out with him, the person that threw him out was for a reason.
Yes.
They just didn't have Ray or Dom or Priest or Chad Gable or you know someone throw him out. Like it was a specific, and I'm not saying specific to set up a match. It was just reason because of hey, we respect what the fuck you do. And yeah. You're over enough to have this person on this level. We want him touching you to throw you out, you know, because Roman just didn't throw out anyone or whoever.
Well, you got Roman level at Roman Reigns throwing out the TNA champion. So that made sense. And
it really didn't have champion versus champion. It was more of popularity with our top star. If they wanted to build on the champion thing, they could have easily had Dom or someone throw him out to set up a match on TNA.
I was just going to say, it's keeping with the Men's Royal Rumble, you know, you can say what you will about WWE, you know, and their use of social media, but the cameo of Ishow Speed, his time in the Royal Rumble was expertly done. I think that it was a great usage of him, his intellectual property, bringing his fan base in. And within 24 hours of those events happening, the footage was viewed by 250 plus million viewers across WWE and Ishow Speed's platforms, which is fucking massive. That's exactly sure. what they need to be doing.
That's marketing like a beast on both ends. Yes, you got to be
without a doubt.
You got to be smart on Ishow Speed's side to know how to, you know, package yourself, and that's really.
And the
awesome.
Thing was, and the thing was, is it wasn't a surprise. You know, they made sure the video got out earlier in the week of him being invited to the Rumble, so everyone had that time to like, you know, if you weren't one of his fans, you're like, okay, he's going to be at this big event on Saturday at what time? Okay, I got to make sure I tune in at this time. So. You know, they made sure that they laid it out that this guy is going to be here. Make sure you tune into either us or his platforms to see what he's going to be doing all day long.
And then he speared out of his fucking shoes.
And that was the highlight of, great. You know, that's probably one of the top five highlights of the night. Yeah. You know, you're going to see that. We're going to see that clip forever. You know,
that's going to be a video packages for years.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and then he's captured, and then he flings him over the shoulder. Oh, he's safe. He's still in there. He didn't touch the boat. Whoop!
And the fact that he got cut up, you know, just for his fans who may think it's fake, and the fact that he got cut up, you know, and to get bandaged up, legit, you know, that kind of helped the company. It was like, all right, this dude really did something. And
it goes back to like when we say wrestling is fake and shit.
He's not done.
Happens, and I'm like, that's not fake.
Yeah, he's not done. There's more to come.
And by the way, John, technically, Tozawa is not in the Rumble. He was replaced. And that's one of the unique things they did with that backstage segment we'd never seen before, is have the fucking boss go, hey, you, get the fuck out there. And him like,
if that's the case, though, like about 5 years ago when Nia Jax did that to R-Truth, how do we call that one? Was she ever officially in that Men's Rumble?
Don't fucking overthink it, man.
Yeah, exactly.
don't fucking overthink it.
Again, this is just something.
I'll just go back to saying someone else was booking at that point.
So. Exactly.
Right.
Come on, pal. We got to fill 30 spots.
All right. He was in the office next door with Laurinaitis.
Speaking, Speaking of, you know, the men's Rumble, I'm going to go through some stuff really quick. Don't comment yet, guys, because there was some outrage and uproar coming from the internet. Trey said, how you letting John Cena lose to fucking Jey Uso in his last Royal Rumble? Embarrassing, WWE. Craig said, no, I'm sorry. I love Jey Uso. I really do. But you had like six avenues to go down with all-time potential matchups and chose the worst possible scenario. I'm so serious. Laura said Triple H had the opportunity to do the greatest Royal Rumble ever with freaking 67,000 people in attendance and fucked it up so bad. This is so shit. What the fuck is he thinking? Melissa said, y'all glaze Triple H so much when that motherfucker can't book for shit. This fucking company still sucks ass no matter who's running it. We got a verified homie, worst Rumble production ever and winners. Triple H, you are losing ideas. It's time you resign because we are missing Vince McMahon again. 138-bit said, I hate WWE. Please fire Triple H. Why would you take out Tozawa for whoever that was? And of course, the capper here is Parts Unknown with saying, fuck Triple H, and a picture of Hitler and Triple H that says, corporate black magic. These two men are more alike than you ever realize. And if you think that sounds absurd, that only means that one of them has done his job perfectly.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Wow.
Elimination Chamber's coming up like in 3 weeks. So I wonder what's going to happen.
Oh, shit.
First off, John's in the Elimination Chamber.
Exactly.
Hunter also made it clear at the press conference that if John wins the championship, it's not because John wants it. It's not because he wants to break a record. It's because Triple H and the company are doing it to thank the fans. So anyone who starts bitching, because that was all, oh, fuck, Jey Uso, mid-eventer, winning the Rumble, blah, blah, blah. Not understanding, you just elevated a guy to the top.
Exactly.
Now you are going to have a bunch of people going, oh, fuck, no, they just threw the bell on John Cena. Fuck this. This is bullshit. Right. It's unfucking believable.
I have a question. Is this the Tony Khan segment? Because we're giving a fuck what Twitter says.
So what kills me with this shit is, okay.
Who gives a fuck what they say? They spent 4.5 hours of their time to go on Twitter afterward. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, great. Okay. Guess what? There's another 2.5 hours tomorrow. And make sure you watch NXT on the CW this week on Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday.
For years, we have been begging WWE to craft and create new stars. And then they finally go and fucking do it. And this is the outrage that happens. I would much rather see Jey Uso in the main event of WrestleMania than John Cena. I went out and I said it.
He lost to Gunther last week and people cried.
So you can't do something with a guy who already said at the beginning of this run that it's my last run. Well, if I know there's a freaking, you know, an hourglass going. We already saw this with Bryan Danielson on AEW. He's like, why did I give this guy the belt? Just because I know in the back of my mind, yes, it's a work, that he's going to lose soon. I'm not going to give John Cena a belt in WrestleMania that I know he's going to lose by SummerSlam. If they do it, they do it. But for me, seeing Jey Uso, I can do something with that. There's bloodline backstories. There's redemption stories. There's him and Gunther having a second match. There's so much more traction there. He still has another 5 or 6 or 7 good years in his career left. Why am I going to give Cena anything like that? Maybe you do. But now, if you give Cena Elimination Chamber, everyone's going to bitch that you didn't give him Rumble. And
No, they're not going to bitch about that. They're going to bitch that he wins the championship in elimination.
Yeah, but nothing makes anybody happy. What I noticed was they were particular about having Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and CM Punk all fall out of the glob. Out with the old guard. That as soon as I saw that, I said something is happening. Out with these people. We cannot do any more with them. Let them fight amongst themselves. It's not that it's bad writing or not compelling to have CM Punk beef with them, but they're not going to bring anything new to the table. I want new. I need to be entertained. That's what I told Daryl. That's why I was kind of, and I don't want to go off subject, I was happy and sour at the same time seeing Charlotte Flair win, because I'm like, I've seen this before. And she didn't do anything new. What did she do when she won? She went, open the ropes for me. I'm like, you're the same goddamn character? You learned nothing?
Fucking fuck. Trust me, dude. We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
What the fuck?
Dude, but here's the situation between WWE and every other company, and the number is two. WWE's big shows are on two nights. WWE has two championships, so it doesn't matter. Cena can lose the Rumble and win Chamber. Chamber's not for the title; it's for a spot.
The option.
We all know which road Cena's taking. If you know his Mania match, you know it's out there. So it's not like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with Cena going for the title on one night of Mania, and there's nothing wrong with Cena winning the title. I'd put the title on him if he wants it, you know, because I'd make sure I have a fucking replica belt available within 20 minutes of that three count, because I know every single person is going to buy that belt, you know. So that's where the company's at right now, because what do they have to prove for WrestleMania at this point? There's only 1,000 tickets left on each night, you know, and they're going to sell those by the time, you know, April comes around. So their mindset, they're already in September at this point. You know, they announced, SummerSlam's going to do well in Minneapolis this year. They announced Paris. We already know what's going to happen in Paris, you know.
A question for you guys, though, about the men's Royal Rumble. There was some sort of controversy with Drew McIntyre bitching that one guy was just trying to hit every spot.
Hold on. I'm glad you brought it up. Let's actually.
Can we talk about Penta's feet?
Yeah, that too. Like I told Matt, because Matt was watching it about an hour before me. I said, Matt, there's a botch. And he goes, what? There's a botch and it's bad. There's a botch.
See, I don't.
But outside of that, Penta looked fucking great. And I have to fucking say this.
Penta was a pro. He played through it. Sorry.
I have to fucking say this. Being the AEW voice on this show, in a month, WWE has done more to make Penta look like a star than Tony Khan did in 5 fucking years.
In a month.
So
they did it in 3 hours last week during media week.
Regardless, like it's stark, the contrast between the two companies and actually promoting it. Yeah, exactly, Travis. Exactly.
Who's this? Who am I? Who am I?
So
I'm Ray Phoenix looking at my brother.
Yep.
Oh, man.
All right. So here's what's going on with Drew. McIntyre stormed out of the building at WWE Royal Rumble, as he said to have been frustrated with someone who was trying to get himself over. News reports provide an update. Here we go. Here's what we got so far. On the Daily Update, Meltzer reported that the story with Drew McIntyre was legit, but he believed that everyone cooled down. Meltzer wrote that McIntyre was not the only one who was mad, but others weren't as obvious about it. The report noted that McIntyre and Damian Priest were going to start an angle, but they felt the momentum was lost when LA Knight got in the way as Priest was eliminating McIntyre. It was said that the top guys wanted things to go smoothly, to have their stories executed as planned. Additionally, Mike Johnson of PWI Insider Elite cited sources who believe McIntyre was upset about LA Knight's errant movement when he interrupted the planned elimination with Drew and Priest. It was noted that Knight's name was brought up regarding McIntyre. Furthermore, Johnson wrote WWE sources have been in contact with McIntyre, and sources played down the situation as they felt it could be tweaked and rectified. Sean Ross Sapp reported an update as he confirmed Drew McIntyre was frustrated about something having to do someone having to get their moves in. Per Sapp, multiple talents reached out and agreed with McIntyre. The name in question was confirmed not to be Logan Paul, which would have been rumored, though WWE held an after party for WWE Royal Rumble, McIntyre was not there. And Sapp also reiterated that Priest and McIntyre were set to start a storyline that would lead into WrestleMania season. He also noted McIntyre has had similar situations in the past. He was initially unhappy about CM Punk's return before they wound up working together. So basically,
I couldn't tell what it was about when I saw that article.
Well, and it comes down to this. Listen, a couple things. One, McIntyre needs to get the fuck over himself. I'm sick of this guy who is a good dude, all right? All accounts, the guy's a good dude, but his ego is fucking out of control for a guy who doesn't draw flies, period. Number two, it's hysterical that chicken shit Meltzer wouldn't report a fucking name of who it was so that people would obviously go to the thought that it would be a guy like Logan Paul, right? Who didn't have shit to get in because he doesn't have shit. He doesn't have moves, right? And he had two beautiful spots in that fucking Rumble that were awesome, all right? So it wasn't him, obviously. The other two you could point to was Fatu or Penta because they're the newest guys, you know, and trying to get your shit in would be something they would be doing. LA Knight has been around fucking forever in wrestling. He's a 20-year veteran. So get over yourself, McIntyre. Stop your fucking baby crying. You and Priest are going to fucking get your match. It was obviously you were setting this up. Who fucking cares?
All I say was, I was
watching this and I went, wait a minute. Do I have to go back and like slowly go through the, you know, hour long event to figure out what the fuck this guy's whining about?
All I'll say is, who gives a fuck about any of this? No, seriously, because didn't everyone who you just posted their tweets about or whatever, these journalists, the night after Survivor Series, or excuse me, the night of Survivor Series 2 years ago, didn't all of them say Seth Rollins went through the back and just cursed up a storm because he was pissed that the company brought in CM Punk?
Right.
How legit was that?
Right.
You know, so it's like people are doing like the, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, they're doing the whole Russo stuff. And, you know, they do stuff to work the boys, the production, and they, you know, but it's, come on. Drew is not walking out of the company, out of a building, 2 months before WrestleMania. You know, so it's like these are the stories where WWE just wakes up this morning, days after, and it's like, yep. Now you see why we're still trending this morning on Twitter, because we got all of them. You know,
don't work yourself into a shoot.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, and it's like, if you read all three of those guys, the journalists, their articles about this topic, what's one of the final sentences? Something to the effect that could be tweaked into something else. Into so they're covering your ass. You know, they're saying this happened, but they could turn it into a angle or something. You know, they're covering their ass because they're going to be like, well, we didn't tell you it wasn't going to become an angle, but so. I think there's
okay.
It's funny who these journalists are.
Right. And we go from the men's to the women. Of course, Charlotte Flair wins. But you know what? We had Alexa Bliss coming back. We had Nikki Bella coming back. We had Trish Stratus coming back. We had Stephanie's boobs kicking off the show. So
yeah, those things were like bigger than ever.
And you had all these NXT women talent in there just showing how diverse and amazing this women's division is. They're going to have a women's show at some point because there's just too much fucking talent. This is unreal. What do you guys think about the women's match?
Alexa Bliss, coolest point in the whole goddamn thing, Alexa Bliss. She came out, got the pop. She came out in the goth. Stripped off the goth clothes, came out in the regular stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, please be real. I don't want this to be just like a little fucking nostalgia thing. Please, please tell me that you're back full time. Please, please, Ms. Kaufman, come back. We like you.
Isn't this
Miss Cabrera?
Yeah.
Don't care. come back.
I didn't know he was a big Alexa Bliss fan.
No, I wasn't. You know what it was? I got excited. I was more excited to see her return than Charlotte Flair. She's not an underdog. She plays the character well. She's entertaining. I was having this conversation with Daryl.
You had all conversations with Daryl.
Yeah, no, we didn't talk for 2 hours at Royal Rumble. And I said, the reason why I don't like Charlotte Flair, not because she doesn't have the ability. She's fucking boring. She's goddamn boring. So tell me that she's entertaining. She's not. Don't lie to yourselves. She's boring.
She's the best women's wrestler in the history of women's wrestling.
Don't give a fuck how good she is in the ring. She's boring. One,
they announced Charlotte. They gave her 3 weeks of vignettes, so it wasn't like Charlotte was a surprise.
Doesn't matter. You know what it
no,
was?
It does because no, Charlotte was known. Charlotte was known to be there. Alexa wasn't.
Do something and come out and do something different, something eye catching for you to separate yourself from who you've been before and still build on yourself. And you were boring. You were fucking boring.
I'm not defending Charlotte's in ring. I'm not defending Charlotte's in ring. I'm just saying they announced her 3 weeks ago, so it wasn't a surprise. Bliss was a surprise, and she got a pop. And I think Bliss being a surprise, getting the pop, and being eliminated pretty quickly, the pop, I'm sure made a lot of people change their minds creatively this morning.
If
so,
AJ Lee, good, I would have been like, good. "Oh, AJ Lee, okay, no, fucking perfect."
AJ Lee would have blown the roof off the building,
And I would have been like, "Okay, cool," but no.
But it was, and I don't think AJ Lee should have been in the Rumble. No. I think he saved that. I think you saved that for something special.
Fucking Jamie,
maybe at the T-Mobile Arena.
Seth and Becky versus Punk and AJ.
T-Mobile Arena. The night after Mania, you need a big pop that night. That's who you pop it with.
Yep.
It was really cool seeing Bliss back. It's always interesting to see women come back after they've given a birth and see how they perform, because it's not like they were injured or anything, and come back as moms. It's very unique. So I'm happy she's back. Always been a Bliss fan. I think a lot of people need to or should check out her NXT stuff when she was with Blake and Murphy and so forth, because Alexa Bliss, I mean, her blueprint is basically Julia Hart.
Yeah.
The cheerleader. The blonde, short, cute cheerleader that went to go manage a tag team. Manage a tag team, went to the dark side. It's her blueprint is exactly Julia Hart. And it makes sense because
Julia Hart is Alexa Bliss's blueprint. Because right. Alexa Bliss did
Alexa
that.
Bliss is the blueprint. And Julia Hart is
That's what I'm saying. Alexa Bliss is the blueprint. But but it makes sense because the one thing Tony Khan admits is he was a big fan of the Black and Gold era. And that's where Alexa Bliss came through. So, So he just took what he saw with Alexa Bliss and then did it with Julia Hart. Obviously, it's nothing against Julia, but
so many directions with Alexa Bliss, and it would still be entertaining. Whatever direction you can go, classic Bliss, you could go the dark. She could go interact with the family, the Wyatt Six. So many things you could do with her. Please come back. And she's really one of the better technical wrestlers that they have.
She's actually one of the very, not going to say very first, but she was in that one before there was NIL deals. She was, that D1, NIL athlete. She had no prior wrestling experience. She was that top star gymnast. And, she came in and obviously is a star now. And then there's matches. The thing with, as Matt said, with all the NXT women, that are down in NXT and that could be coming up over the next year. We have a bunch of new matches. Obviously, we all know we're going to see Stratton and Charlotte. With Bliss being a gymnast, it'd be great to see Stratton and Bliss. Mm-hmm. You have so many new matches, Roxanne and Bliss, because their heights are similar. So there's so much. You're going to tell me the visual between Roxanne and Charlotte Flair is not going to be, you know, pretty, you know, meme worthy when they actually do yeah. that visual of those two doing it face to face. So, you know, there's a lot with Travis, the NXT talent you can do. You know, and it's even like, you know, even your stars who are still not ready to be called up, but could be called up by the end of this year, like a Lash Legend or a Jada Parker, you know, you get that, you know, quote unquote, black girl magic with a Charlotte or Alexa, a Rhea, or and so on. So
we're missing the headline, though. Julia and Stephanie are head and shoulders above anything that the WWE has ever had in terms of signed, put right up the front, got title, probably Stephanie getting the other title, probably going to face off each other for either or both, going up to the main roster. Those two women, probably the best signings they've done in the past 5 years.
Yeah, and there I've told someone recently, like, you kind of have to kind of consider those two almost like the level of a Asuka or Kairi or Io when they got signed and went through NXT, and we all could see, fuck, when they get caught up, they're going to be something. And Asuka, Kairi, and Io were and still are something in WWE. So you have that with Julia and Stephanie, as well as so many others that are just in the background of NXT at the moment, you know. But Zarya is going to be a star, you know, and we all know with her being very close to Rhea Ripley, that Zarya-Rhea Ripley match is going to be happening, you know, somewhere down the line. But as far as what was going on in the Rumble, it was cool. I think
Chelsea Green, though, in the Rumble was great.
It was great, you know.
She is right now, she is the best one with any type of a belt on herself. She performs well, takes a beating, and her wrestling skill is good. I think she's very, what's the word I'm looking for? She's underappreciated for her wrestling.
She's on the verge of becoming a world champion based off the fans.
Yeah.
She's almost on that Jey Uso level at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and I think she was either one, she was either two or three eliminations away last night from becoming, you know, that Jey Uso level. I think it's funny because you can give the titles to so many people at this point, but I think she's probably on that list of something big for her.
When it comes to Chelsea Green, that she will ever have that moment where she sheds off the nervous, unconfident kind of, you know, like, you know, wormy version of herself and just dials it in.
Why?
No,
she doesn't need to.
That you just sat and fucking argued about Charlotte. Charlotte Flair has no character. No character. No,
because she's fucking boring.
Someone who has a fucking character. You're like, is there any way we can?
No. What I'm saying is, where she can, wait a minute. You're not listening.
What the fuck, Rob?
No, think.
We are listening. That's the problem.
No, think. Her character is one of, like, I'm kind of unconfident, but she's still arrogant when she cuts a promo. If you could put the two together, all right, go from the Rocky Maivia to that rock moment, a la Nation of Domination. If she has that point where she can bring it all together is what I'm saying. I think she could do that, still keep all the elements that people like about her and show how dominant she could physically be in the ring. You would have an even higher Chelsea Green than we already have. But no, I will not die on the hill. I've got two AKs pointing at both your skulls for that fucking boring piece of shit, talentless on the mic, Charlotte Flair. She's fucking boring. Now, is she good in the ring? Absolutely. Yes, but is she could not, if you said, hey, Charlotte, if you can't nail this woo down, you're going to take a fucking shell to the face. She's gone. She's gone. Blood splattered everywhere. She's got no fucking charisma. None.
All right. Can I just throw this out there? Because Rob monopolized this entire fucking segment. I haven't been able to say shit. I completely agree with you on Charlotte Flair. Okay. Being said, she's boring. We got to give some props to how they portrayed Roxanne Perez.
Yep.
Longest time in the Rumble
for somebody that's not even on the main roster. Again, building new stars. It, you know, it's really funny. I sat here on this show for 5 years, and I complained about WWE not building new stars, not working with other promotions, and creative being stale. And now, fast forward 5 years later, and it's like a fucking role reversal. I'm in a fucking Twilight Zone episode, okay? I what the fuck? Like, literally everything that I hated about WWE, AEW is now doing. Everything that I loved that AEW promised that they were going to be doing and what they looked to start to be doing, WWE picked up that ball and ran with it. It's unbelievable just how dramatically things have changed.
Yeah.
A great that starts a different show.
And a great thing Jonathan brought up, Jordan Grace as a champ. Yeah. Jordan Grace looked like $1 million. I mean, Jordan last Grace night they made so many people look so fucking good.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. Okay, really
and,
quick.
And not only did they make everyone look good, we're going to see them on TV every week. Mm-hmm. Right. You know. Yeah. They may be opening the show top of the hour and main eventing, you know, yeah, on all three brands. We all know NXT opens and closes with women, and we see what their ratings are doing.
Yeah. That's why their ratings are the way they are.
So yeah, it's like,
yeah,
another company has their stars on a Jericho cruise this weekend. So I mean, what can I say?
Exactly.
Okay.
What can I say?
Finally, at the Rumble, you know what? Cody Rhodes, in my book, is beyond one of the best fucking guys in the goddamn business, not only as a wrestler, but as a person. Kevin Owens is the same fucking thing. These two kicked the motherfucking living shit out of each other last night. I mean, storytelling, beautiful. Sami Zayn, beautiful. Everything. Reminded me of Funk coming out and checking on Cactus when he fell through the cage, right? It was just fucking gorgeous. That match, everything that you felt like, you know, it's like, yeah, they fought. And now here we are, and holy shit, an Alabama slam right through the goddamn ladder. And Kevin is dead, right? I mean, the guy is dead. It's unfucking believable. This show had 4 fucking matches, ladies and gentlemen. 4.
And they were it went 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
Exactly. There was only one thing that would have made that better. 1999 Jim Ross calling that one. Wow. It would have been red and white all over the walls.
Kevin Owens, you son of a bitch. He killed him. He killed him.
He killed him. God damn it. Give me a few beers. I'll do Jim Ross.
Get the damn medics out here. His head is through the ladder. Yeah. No, it was great. And, you know, we talk about the 4.5 hour show, the only 4 matches. And you have to realize, yeah. And they didn't have the 2 women champs or the world champ on the show.
Nope.
They didn't have to.
Neither men's champ, and neither women's champ. Amazing.
But no, Cody. They're Cody.
Cody.
Oh, Cody. Yeah, but Gunther Rhea.
The Rumbles didn't have a lot of fluff, and they push storylines on both Rumbles. They push storylines without a lot of fluff, people, and I was happy.
What do you know? They were actually being promoters.
Yeah.
You know, like actually building storylines.
And I, you know, it's hard to figure out how do you make a battle royal interesting. WWE has been able to market it as a, you know, number 2 event of the year at this point. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's Tony has something. I think the Casino Battle Royal is unique, but it comes out of nowhere. First of all, we never know when it is. Is it in February? Is it in July? Is it in October? Like,
it's not even in a casino.
Set a standard month when it happens and establish it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because WWE does it. We all know War Games is only in November. So when's Blood and Guts? You know, Blood and Guts should be around Halloween.
WWE framework and make it your own, but keep that framework. Keep a structure. There's no structure to your company. I have nothing to be excited about. I should anticipate. I'm anticipating Royal Rumble. Oh, it's New Year. Royal Rumble's a few weeks away. Oh, it's spring. WrestleMania is coming around. It's summer. SummerSlam. I have it in my head. It's like seasons.
There's why does he need to tweak the framework? He steals everything else. We got the Hurt Business around. We got the Hurt Business around. I mean, come on.
You don't have the delivery mechanism.
You got the Hurt Business. You got the Undisputed Era. Aleister Black. You know, just steal it. I don't care. I'm not joking. Just steal it. But make it like, you know, mean something and have it at a specific time of year. That's why fans get excited. You know, you can't tell me there's a Casino Battle Royal in 2 weeks and you know, Richardson, Texas, that you want to bill as in Houston, Texas. Like, no. What?
They're shooting it in the basement of a tugboat casino.
And that is if they even promote it 2 weeks in advance.
Yeah. No,
you probably hear about it, you know, in a closing segment the week before. If you're lucky, you'll probably hear about it on social media the week of the show.
Like, you mean the guy with the jockstrap on his head who calls all those matches?
I'm not trying to turn it into the bash moment, but it's like just go ahead and figure out the dates, you know, months, and present it, and have this your yearly, you know, thing.
May I ask you guys a serious question? If he were to prepare in advance like that, would it be easier for him to get bookings and fill those arenas up if he was consistent about when and where these events are going to be, and then everyone gets excited for them, and then the big arenas are more apt to give him good deals on
not why they're not booking big arenas now, man.
You have to spend a year or two establishing these matches, these events. And then on year three, that's when you start saying, okay, for the past 2 years, you saw what the hell happened.
TNA,
we're coming to your city now. Let's pack this place.
TNA for years was, we're going to be Bound for Glory leading up to Genesis. Bound for Glory leading up to Genesis. We knew this. I could tell you the TNA pay-per-views, and that was good. And I knew something big was going to happen. I thought that's what he was doing with All In and the casino stuff, but
Let's move to him. Tony Khan is in the weeds and sharing creative. Apparently, an update on Tony Khan's current status is part of AEW creative following last night's collision, which was last week's homecoming episode. Over the years, while various names have joined All Elite Wrestling, Tony Khan has remained the head honcho in terms of creative in the company. However, in recent months, it's being reported that more names in the company have been taking some of the creative wheels from Khan, including John Moxley's running of the Death Rider story and RJ City's running of the Tony Storm and Ryan May story. AEW returned to Daly's Plaza last night's episode of Collision, which featured the big return of Timeless Tony Storm, as well as Take a Shit Of facing off with Shibata, and Okada faces Commander. In an update from Fightful Select, those within AEW were pumped for last Saturday's show, which they feel did really well. It also was reported that Tony Khan is said to have been in the weeds more creatively as of late. Okay.
No shit.
Here's the thing. Listen, your production value is getting a little better. Your stories are making a little more sense. The one thing that is not happening is your actual booking is still erratic, and your promotion, as we have just been talking about, is not what it needs to be. So even though you can be, and by the way, this is one thing that gets me. Allowing John Moxley to be in control of that story, that is not creative. Chris Jericho is in control of his story. Correct. And we see how fans in AEW are reacting to that.
Right.
So the honest answer is RJ City. Who fucking cares about RJ City? It's Tony Storm who's driving that shit. I'm sorry.
Right. He tried to reboot that. And I immediately was like, I don't need him. Yeah. You're not going to reboot it. It was good when they got rid of you.
Himself into that. That's what I don't like. These guys consistently do shit to get themselves over. Yeah. And that
and really they don't. Bugs. They're hams, as the old saying goes. They're very hammy about it.
I think the one issue is Tony needs to stop saying who's the creative person behind each storyline. No one cares. You know, I don't need to know Will Washington has his fingerprints here. I don't need to know RJ City has his fingerprints here. If it leaks out by the journalists, that's fine because it will leak out. But why does he as a owner, promoter needs to tell us like, hey, this is our, like, I don't care, you know? So we've been told many a times Brian Gerwitz is The Rock's guy. WWE has never actually said that. We've been told by everyone, by Brian himself, but the company itself has never even said it. So it's like, you don't need to like, you know, publicly pat your friends on the back, your employees on the back, you know, at least not those employees, you know, give them the world behind the scenes. But it's like,
let's bring this up right away then. Because Moxley wants people to stop asking questions and just enjoy the ride. John Moxley wants everyone to stop asking questions and enjoy the ride. Claudio, we're not here to kill AEW. We're not here to destroy AEW. It's quite the opposite. We're here to fix AEW. We're here to bring out the best in every single person that we step in the ring with, to get rid of what doesn't need to be here, to lay the beautiful foundation for the future. Will that take days? No. Will it take weeks? No. It will probably take however long it needs to take. This will be our greatest work, and it will last forever, stated Claudio Moxley. Or maybe everyone can just stop asking questions, trust in us, and just enjoy the damn ride. What's your honest opinion on the Death Rider storyline? Great question, guys.
It's not fucking working. It's not fucking working. And quite honestly, I think that I know that you hate the guy, but I'm still going to mention it. Michaels, Cope, since he's rebranded himself, Adam Copeland, actually did a pretty solid promo on Collision. Yes, there was another wrestling show on Saturday, believe it or not. But he actually made mention of the fact that, yes, they just started streaming on Max and the world championship belt is nowhere to be found. Like, that should be a figurehead of being on the show every single fucking week. He brought a lot of really great points to light and voiced a lot of the frustration that a big chunk of the fan base has had for, you know, for this entire storyline. It's not working. They need to make some changes quick, fast, and in a fucking hurry, because you're going to drive people away.
If he comes out there and says that, and you think you're being smart with your audience by acknowledging their reservations or frustrations with the role, does that mean you have a competent storyline to get the belt off Moxley? And if you do have a match, mm-hmm. Let's say you have a big pay-per-view match and this fucking guy once again doesn't show up with his belt. I want there to be a scenario by which they say to this guy, I don't give a damn what you feel. I want Tony Khan to come out there and go, give me the fucking belt. I want the belt on a pole. I want the belt at the top of a ladder. I want to see the goddamn belt because I own the belt. You don't own the belt. I own the belt. I own you. Either do it or find another job and I'll do an open challenge. I want all the EVPs to get involved, stand behind him and say something and say, this is it. And that there's your storyline. I want the entire locker room to empty out and simultaneously beat the shit out of them. But I want anything. And I'm not particular, just something where we see a belt at the very least.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Here's one of the problems. Okay. So Cope gave a speech on Collision last night. Am I going to see a recap of that on Wednesday? Because any smart person would know that speech was seen by nobody.
Exactly.
Last night. Exactly. You know, so if
on social media, just,
you know, exactly. Like, why? This is the first I'm even hearing about this. Yeah. Why wasn't this on social media? You know, right. Even if you didn't want to run it last night, run it the top of the first thing this morning. And hit it hard, you know. Yeah. But it's like, are we going to see a recap? You know, maybe the actual full interview this Wednesday, or maybe bring Cope out and redo the whole interview on Wednesday. why are you putting stuff like that on Saturdays, you know, against a number two pay-per-view? It's the same with the Tony Storm. It's the same with the Tony Storm return.
Exactly.
Timeless Tony came back against
on a show no one saw.
Saturday night's main event. Like, who in their right? And this is why I say stop publicly saying who's the creative person behind each one of these, because who in their right mind would bring her back on Collision? Forget WWE was running at the same time.
Right.
Who would bring her back on Collision?
Yeah. Isn't now you bring
her, if you want her to be on Collision, then bring her back on Wednesday and say, you know what, my first match as me is this Saturday. You know, but to bring her back against Rhea and Nia?
3 weeks before you actually are going to Australia.
Exactly.
So the turn on a Saturday night, a throwaway show for something that now has to be dragged out for 3 weeks. It makes no fucking sense.
I will say this when it comes to AEW, maybe the best thing that could ever happen to them is they lose Collision and they have to put all their eggs in the Dynamite basket and focus on just making that one individual show as best it can be. Answer all the questions, tie up all the loose ends. It's not going to happen, but yeah. they're not utilizing what they got.
It could happen. So, but
well, it can't happen now because they're locked in for 3 years, 2 years or so. But at any point,
the network can pull that show.
That is true. That is true. We saw that with Rampage because no one ever thought Rampage, you know, had a contract coming up, and it did. So it's a fact that he doesn't have a small roster to only do a 2 hour show. Dynamite would have to go to 3 hours, or they you know, fill up ROH, but ROH has no TV deal. You know, let's just put it out there. Gabe created Evolve and got Evolve on his streaming deal, like Tubi.
On fucking Tubi. Yeah.
Before ROH can even get on something. Yeah. That's a show based around talent, not even officially under WWE contract.
It's unbelievable.
It's on a streaming site before a contracted roster of ROH is even available. So that's wild.
That's a great point in transition because word got out apparently that AEW is not going to allow the younger talent to wrestle in Las Vegas during WrestleMania week, which, if this is true, is probably one of the most motherfuck moves to all these people who need the work, need to get exposed in front of fucking audiences. And what better time than when you have fucking 100,000 wrestling fans in one city to put people on display at these smaller shows, which people are going to be going to, so that when you go back to Poughkeepsie or fucking Australia, you are going like, hey, I just saw this person, and man, they're fucking hot, and they're in AEW. We need to fucking see this person. I do not get what he's fucking thinking if this is true.
He's going Vince McMahon route, and he's shrinking his brand. It's like wait a minute. I think the problem is these guys aren't bleeding for my brand. So I'll show them, and I will cut them off at the knees or clip their wings, and now they're only going to rep my brand.
But the problem is, the biggest problem on that is that in WWE, you couldn't do that. Because they wouldn't let you work independent shows.
Right.
In these fucking contracts, they're allowing them to work the independent shows.
So yes. Now he's kind of contradicting himself. Like,
why isn't it across the board? You know, why are certain stars allowed to go to Vegas that weekend, but other stars aren't? You know, and I think people should step up and ask. You know, if I'm someone who's not allowed to go to Vegas, but, you know, other people are, I'm like, why can't I go? You're not going to put me on TV. I haven't been on TV. You're not going to let me go to Vegas to make money. you know, exactly. or sign a few autographs or see some fans that I haven't seen because I'm not on TV. You know, it's like, where do you draw the line? Who's allowed to go? You know,
this is what I don't understand. Who is, when they said the younger talent, are these like the dark match people, so to speak?
First off, there's no more dark match. So
yeah, of course, but
when you're talking younger talent, you're talking all of these people like the Gates of Agony, for instance. Gates of Agony should be able to work every fucking show they want. Yep. WrestleMania weekend,
right? They need to build their brand.
I think everyone should be, because if you present your contracts as you guys are actually independent contractors, and we're not going to, you know, red tape you on what you can do on the weekends. How come this one weekend of the year, you know, some of the talent's not allowed to do something? It makes no sense, because though those same people are allowed to do something in Indianapolis, you know, Royal Rumble weekend, they're the same people that can do stuff in Minneapolis for SummerSlam weekend, you know. So why can't the biggest weekend of the whole year, they're not going to do anything?
Here's my question, and this is kind of like an obvious one. If you're not going to put me on TV, you don't have a storyline for me, I can't work Vegas, why would I stay with the company? As soon as my contract goes, I'm going to flee the ship.
Yeah, and he doesn't see it that way.
Right.
You know, he thinks everything's great. He really does. And it's like, there are more and more people who in the past 3 weeks have seen the presentation of Pentagon and are like, you know what? It's been fun. It's been fun, you know? And I mean, I think people can read in between the lines, but Zelina Vega breaking away from LWO and being sent to SmackDown, I think we all know why, you know, and exactly. We all know why that's happening.
You know who's showing up.
So it's like, you know, it's
she knows some dark arts.
Ultimately, I think Travis, you hit the nail right on the head with, you know, I was actually going to say exactly that it makes no sense. AEW was, and I even referenced this a couple of segments ago. This is the type of shit that WWE was, you know, was criticized for doing for years. They wouldn't allow their talent to do anything with anybody. They weren't playing nice in the sandbox with any of the other kids. And now it's like a big fucking role reversal. And it continues to blow my mind. You know, these contracts were created so that people could work indie dates, so that they could maximize their time when they weren't being used, because the way that AEW chooses to run things is they'll have a roster of 100+ people. So they rotate people in and out. So essentially, you might not see somebody for a couple of months. That's not because of any particular thing with the standing in the company. That is just how they've done business since day one. But to not allow those people that are not being currently featured on TV to make a living and to pull extra money for themselves, that's a bitch move. Absolutely. It's absolutely ridiculous. And yes, Aleister Black is on his way to SmackDown. Absolutely. For sure.
Does he have shame? In other words, would he get we got to that point where we never thought that Vince McMahon had any shame, where you could ever shame him into doing the right thing. Is there anybody who knows anything about Tony Khan by which you could social media shame him into fixing this? And I was being like legit. I don't know the character that we all make. We assume the worst, but.
But I mean, what would be shaming him into fixing this?
No, because now if we're doing this podcast, we've got however many people watching. If enough stuff got out there in the zeitgeist, enough stuff came out in social media where people are going, "Hey, Tony, you're a dick," and enough social media storm happened, would he eventually go, "Well, I was wrong"?
All his boys are
doing podcasts out there. You know, you got Sapp out there doing podcasts. You got Meltzer and Brian, a good girl out there doing podcasts. So it's like, why would you not have talent out there? Because they could probably go on these people's podcasts or show up to their parties and, you know, get the company, you know, some publicity. It's whatever.
And very simple. We know enough people, honestly, that work in AEW, this podcast could get to Tony very easily, honestly.
Yes.
But the problem is that he wouldn't look at it as criticism. He'd look at it as pure hating. And that has been his problem from the early points. Yep. And I'm telling you, I saw the evolution up close and how he stopped listening to people and taking questions instead of acknowledging and explaining. He dodged and said, "You're wrong for asking these questions. I will never call on you again."
I want to piggyback on that. A long time ago, when they had the Urban Meyer bullshit, where the guy was uploading pictures of Jericho and MJF in the middle of the match, and I'm like, "Hey, you're breaking the fourth wall. You're breaking kayfabe." Bully Ray was foaming at the mouth and said, "You're going to talk to this guy and interview him on Friday. Bring it up, Dave LaGreca. Bring it up, because that's our business. That's how we eat. You don't do that." And Dave LaGreca was afraid to ask the question and asked the question as the music was closing. He was afraid to ask the question. And anything that was brought up, well, obviously, Tony Khan doesn't go on Busted Open to address people. So that goes to what you're saying, is he used to address the people. He doesn't now.
No. And you know, and like you say, he doesn't even go on Busted Open anymore. I mean, we've talked about this before. How, I mean, you look at it now, it's like, Bubba's co-hosting the pre-show, the Friday media day is everyone's walking through the makeshift Busted Open studio set in the city of the event, you know. And Fridays used to be Tony's appearance on Busted Open, you know. And Tony was always, and he's butthurt right now, and he's butthurt that he no longer has a love fest with Busted Open. And that's strictly on him, you know, because it's not like they're saying we don't want you, because we all know who's their one of their hosts on Wednesdays. You know, it's AEW contracted talent. So it's like they're open to having, they want, but it's like he's not giving anything. So they're like, fuck it.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about wrestling.
All right, there we go. Okay, Steve, since we're on AEW, what is your over-under this week for AEW?
All right, so I'm going to just preface everything by saying that the February 5th episode of AEW Dynamite currently has four things announced. Four things. Will Ospreay versus a member of the Don Callis family. They're probably going to be bringing in someone different. Who knows? Hounds of Hell versus Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher. Why they're doing that match, I don't know. Neither team should be losing right now. Swerve Strickland versus Ricochet, which is good, but obviously I'm sure that you could have done that in a bigger setting, but whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Timeless Tony Storm in a tune-up match with Queen Aminata. So four things announced for this show. The over-under for the week is, it's going to be 3.5 segments announced for the following week, which gets back to the root of the problem. So I'm saying for the February 12th episode of Dynamite, by the end of Dynamite, they will announce, I'm going to say, under 3 segments for the following week. If you guys will all remember when AEW first started, they had Excalibur doing the Micro Machines commercial guy, to date myself with a dated reference. They had that guy yapping 100 miles an hour because they had so many matches booked so far in advance. And they promoted the matches in advance and the segments to actually get people to tune in. And, oh, yeah, to buy fucking tickets to the shows. They don't do that anymore. So it's literally what we saw from the other promotion, where they were seemingly flying by the seat of their pants with the booking, and it goes full circle, and it just corroborates what Matt, you were talking about earlier, with the fact that Tony is now outsourcing the booking and he's in the weeds because they don't know what the fuck is going to work. And they're just not announcing anything in advance. So yeah, under three segments announced by the end of Dynamite this Wednesday for the following week, which just so happens to be the go home Dynamite before Grand Slam Australia.
All right, it's time for our presidential pontification.
You know, for being 6'2" and a blonde with huge titties, it is so very sad that Miss Charlotte has no flair. So very sad. You know, it takes a Puerto Rican or a Mexican. I don't know. What is he, Puerto Rican or Mexican? He needs to put some tajine on his penis. And Andrade needs to put some tajine in her pussy because that's the only spice you'll ever get out of a Charlotte Flair segment. So very sad. So very sad. The only time you'll ever get her to go, whoa, is if there is some tajine in the pussy, because never, ever have I seen anything this dry before. Okay? I want a tajine segment, and I'm getting salt and pepper out of Miss Charlotte No Flair. We're going to call you Charlotte No Flair. Charlotte, no flair.
All right.
I hate to admit, that was pretty funny.
That's why I said it.
That's time for the bad boys here to take a social media dump. I thought this pretty entertaining. Eddie Kingston's return will be generational, set by Triggered Wrestling. And some of the comments were, Michael McCormick said, I think I found one of his needles at the local playground. Eric Dickerson said, Burger Kingston is coming back. I thought he retired. And Rob Walker said, Plumber versus Kingston, the thriller for the hundreds of fans in attendance. And speaking of AEW, boom! Look at it. It's the Boom Boys with the WWE title doing a box opening for baseball card breaks. Unfucking believable. Speaking of unbelievable, hey man, Liv Morgan has announced she is single in real life. All right, man. That sounds fascinating. Also, we're getting people sworn in for Trump's presidency. It looks like Mr. Kennedy is getting a spot on the cabinet. Speaking of the spot, remember Shawn Michaels and the Winged Eagle title and that picture? Oh, well, Kevin Owens, you got to think about what you're kissing sometimes. Jesse Ventura on Saturday night's main event made it very clear that the Steiners were stupid, and Big Papa Pump replied, Jesse Ventura seems to forget that I attended a highly educated university. Next time I see him, there's a 141 2/3 chance I will slap him like a bitch. His Navy SEAL training can't help him. Hey, have you seen what it looks like for illegals avoiding ICE in 2025? That's right. Chavo is way ahead of his time. Look, Cody Rhodes posted, it was great to see you last night, champ. Abdul the Butcher was in the house at one of the shows recently. Hey, everybody, it's the Bart Foundation. That's right, Milhouse and Ralph and, of course, Nelson and Bart making up the foundation there. Look at these guys here. Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Sami Zayn, and Jey Uso. Man, Seth Rollins looks like he went to high school in 1976, man. That's unbelievable. Hello. Who wore it better, everyone? Liv Morgan or Rhea Ripley? Yowzes. Did you guys see the picture of the Giant and Lex Luger with their kid backstage in 1996? Oh, wait, that's Rey Mysterio, everybody. Mm. Holy crap. Britt Baker had to take to social media. I understand we as performers are expected to have thick skin through opinions and lies we read about ourselves, but spreading lies about my personal life is just low, weird, and something I won't tolerate. I've never cheated on anyone in my life. Hashtag tell your source. One of my favorite signs at the Rumble, Meltzer fears facts. Wow, man. Speaking of wow, Soul Ruka. Yep. I can't believe it.
Hold on a second. Oh, man. Oh, God. Wait a minute.
Oh, there he goes. He's logging off and logging it back on. All right, really quick. John Cena came out in I think this is Fox News. John Cena slims down for new role portraying Human Man. Los Angeles confirming he had become almost unrecognizable to friends and family. Wrestler turned actor John Cena opened up Tuesday about slimming down for a new role in which he would portray a human man. I knew I had to take drastic measures if I wanted to convincingly pass for a human man on screen, said a now 5'9", 160-pound Cena, who had to reduce his daily caloric intake by 97% to lose enough muscle to play a somewhat fit guy rather than a large, out massive, superhuman brawn. My agent said it would all pay off once studio execs saw that I could believably approximate a Homo sapien male. It took a lot of sacrifice and dedication to turn my marble-like figure into such a soft, ordinary body, but I told myself it wasn't worth doing unless I was going to do it right. I didn't want to rely on the expense of CGI to de-beef my delts, he continued. Plus, this way I can get into the mind of my character feeling firsthand what it's like to be physically unremarkable. I did think about backing out after I could no longer see my veins bulging out of my from under my skin. But then the leg shortening, jaw filling, and torturous pec loosening surgeries would have all been for nothing. At press time, Cena said he would be working with a speech coach to learn how to talk without pointing and yelling. And that, of course, comes from The Onion.
I was going to say, that's an Onion article. That has to be.
Yeah, well, yeah, you had the lead at the bottom, too. Jesus.
I mean, come on.
You buried the lead when you put the Onion lead.
And Hacksaw Jim Duggan put out this picture. Hacksaw handing his robe to a young Shane McMahon.
Shane O'Mac.
How about that? And, of course, this one, a broken TV screen. So last night, I smashed my TV in front of 30 guests at my party because CM Punk was eliminated by Logan Paul. My wife took our crying kids and said, they're all spending the week at a hotel. This show has ruined my life and my party. I can't handle this anymore. Goodbye, WWE. Yeah, suck. All right. And finally, from Las Vegas here, I just have to point this out that we are getting ready on March 23rd. It is a Sunday. It is a benefit for Chris Bay, held by the Future Stars of Wrestling, Chris's company that he trained with in Las Vegas here. Joe DeFalco, the owner who I do the DeFalco Files with every week, put this out just recently. The list keeps getting bigger and bigger. Shane Strickland, Trey Miguel, Rhino, Brian Cage, Ace Austin, Kenny King, Alex Zane, Ice Williams, Brooke Havoc, Brittany Brooks, Rich Knox, Melissa Santos. More names to be named and announced later. You can get tickets and sponsorship by contacting the show at lvfuturestars@yahoo.com. The venue is still being worked out, you know, where exactly this is going to
tell them to do it the following week.
Well, it's
I'm gonna be it's gonna be a big show for me on the 23rd for not LA Comedy Club this year, but for the Las Vegas Awards show for Comedy Awards show is on the 23rd at Wise Guys at Town Square. So tell them to do it the next week.
Yeah, we'll tell Wise Guys that they should do it the next week, and maybe they should continue to do good things for the community and help out. Maybe they should sponsor Chris by doing something.
I might be able to make that happen. So tell him to
Yeah.
How about not just combine both shows?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
put a ring in the middle. It'll be interesting.
Do comedy and wrestling, because I mean we see it every Wednesday on Turner Broadcasting. So. Mm.
All right, a couple quick things. Let's go to our friend Soraya. Yeah.
What do you think of a WWE on Netflix?
Amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, dude. I'm proud for anything that they're doing. Like, there's no ill will between us at all. Like, again, we kind of split amicably, too. So it was just... I'm proud of them. They're great.
But there's a possible WWE in your future.
Maybe one day. I'm trying not to say anything. I don't want to get in trouble. But, yeah.
Oh boy. And
split amicably when she her first promo was like, I'm finally here with a boss that listens to me.
Yep.
There we go.
Tell us when your contract is up, because we already know.
We got to look at this from the Rumble. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
'20, '25 Give me that. Royal Rumble. Give me that. Win the voice.
Well deserved, homie. Deserve to get it.
It is you.
Thank you, bro.
It is you.
Man, congratulations.
It is you.
Dog. Congratulations, dog.
Give me that.
Say, put that, that on, boy. Yeah, you take that.
Man.
No, no. Bro, go ahead, throw it on one time for him, boys. Just 1-1 right here. Can you break?
Yo.
How you feel? How you feel out there?
Shit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Congratulations,
man.
Thank you, man.
Yeah!
Come on.
Boys!
You see it? Work. You see it? Floss that, dude.
Man, that's that hard work.
Uh-huh.
That's that hard work.
Come on, man. Our turn. Yeah, our turn. That's our turn.
Love you, bro.
Got you, bro.
Well, you too, bro. What's up, dude?
That's just some great stuff behind the scenes.
So and that's like the new click, and now we're never going to see. we're not going to see him for a long time now.
Yeah, yeah. Jacob's working a pig pen match this coming Monday night. All right, final thoughts for this week, Travis. You got some thoughts before we go?
I had something I wanted to bring up. Someone go first so I can try to remember this. Yeah, I can't remember what I wanted to say.
All right, Rob, you already said the 23rd.
So the 23rd is going to be the Las Vegas Comedy Reviewers Awards. It's the second annual one. And we are going to have a special guest along with myself. So stay tuned for it. It's going to be very presidential, but Donald Trump will be there this year. No Barack Obama. So they surprised me. And there might be something else going on in regards to that production company regarding myself. If there is, you'll know about it. Come see me at Boss Comedy. And if you want to get a booking for Cameo, I will do a cameo. I have no problem recording something lovely for your family, and pick who you want and I'll do it. You want Obama, you want Trump, you want Cat Williams. I got it.
I remember what I was going to say. Just real quick, I wanted to bring something up because I was in Atlanta for TV this week. It was kind of embarrassing. And that Meltzer went off about how many rappers were shown during Raw in Atlanta this week. Sorry that the company, you know, reaches out to things like that, but I hope he keeps the same energy next week, this coming week, because, oh, where's Dynamite, Atlanta? I hope for the first time AEW PR can actually do something right and get all those rappers to their show, because I just want to hear Meltzer say something about that, which I know he won't. So, but
you know damn good and well they won't. It's like they avoid cross
promotion. Oh, I know. Trust me, when I saw a lot of them there prior to the show, you know, I was in contact with a few people from AEW. I was like, all right, you guys are here next week. Let's see what you got. You know,
and by the way, Hunter, kudos to him in the press conference, specifically pointing out the fact that they were very pleased at the fact that all those artists turned out in Atlanta. So he fucking threw it right back in Meltzer's face on purpose.
Oh, they threw it all night. Alexa Bliss
stuff. Yeah.
You know, so yeah, they knew they, it was like I said, they stay quiet a lot. They really do. But when they throw it, when they speak, it speaks volumes, you know? So yeah. they were out for, you know, they felt targeted, you know. I can say a lot of people in WWE were they were disappointed about Meltzer's comments about all the rappers at the show last week. You know, it kind of, you know, it just it hurt a lot of people's, like, personally, and it's like, I'm totally not trying to make this a racial thing at all, but for the fact that, you know, going into Black History Month and the show being in Atlanta, and you have all these, you know, Black musicians in attendance having fun, and then what the industry wants to consider the top journalists complaining that they were shown too many times.
You know, his response is probably, I love Eminem. I love Eminem. He's a great rapper.
He tried to mention some of their names and did it incorrectly, but it was just, you know, a lot of people just felt disrespected, you know, especially with his company that he thumped so hard going to Atlanta the following week, and knowing that they have a star who is wrestling on that show, actually, who is connected to the hip hop industry, and they're not going to pull anywhere near what you know, WWE did. So, you know, just a lot of people were just kind of like, it bothered a lot of people, you know, last week of his comments, you know,
as it should.
It's like, well, fuck, we're in Atlanta and all these stars want to come see our show. Like, how is that, like, you know? Yep. And it's not like they were just people who wanted tickets because WWE was in town. It's like they were actually fans. Like, these guys and women, you know, who were there that were part of the hip hop industry, or they were actually fans. You know, it's like they actually had were wearing the shirts. You know, they're given stuff they don't have to wear, but they were actually wearing the shirts. You know, what was it? Who was it? I forgot who they interviewed. Or he said he wanted to meet Rhea Ripley. You know, so. You know, it was, like I said, it was just disrespectful, and I think a lot of people felt this disrespect pretty hard because everyone knows he's not going to say anything if AEW could pull something close to that this week in the same city.
You know, yeah. Vince McMahon probably saw that one. You know what? I like fucking you fucked up.
Well, and thank God Meltzer didn't hear about all the Atlanta strippers that were at the show too.
Those are my comments.
Steve, your final thoughts.
That's right. Anyway, thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight on all of our platforms, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. Everything was popping. So thank you guys for your engagement. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women that serve this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, repsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com, use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 15%.
Well, there you go, everybody. This week, you know, it was a big Royal Rumble. It was one hell of a time. You know, again, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff out there on the internet, which is always fun. You know, we try to make the best of it every week as we can. So until next week, actually, because it's the Super Bowl, we are going to have the first of our episodes that will be airing over the course of the year with our top 50 of our favorite all-time wrestlers, personally. And it will be number 50 to 41. So tune in for that, and then we'll be back again live the week afterwards. Until then, everybody, what do we got to say, DJ?
With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling. Deep convos late night, none of that shrinking. Michael say it straight. Steve got the chutzpah. Rob smooth delivery, sharper than a jigsaw. Sin City's finest, knowledge that can find us. Pro wrestling, life lessons, wisdom redefine us. Las Vegas playground, tough crowd behind us. Culture shook hard, repping bad boys aligning. Three voices in sync, truth bombs never blink. From the strip to your ears, they drop jaws in a blink. Opinions always real, never sway, never shrink. Fans ride the wave, connection unlinked.